The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Hyundai, Ireland's fastest growing car brand. Join the Hyundai revolution. The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Hyundai. Everyone's talking about the revolution driven by Hyundai, Ireland's fastest growing car brand.
Hello there, and a very good morning to you. You're very welcome indeed to the programme this morning. This is a big day in a lot of households around the country, because even those who wouldn't know the front end from the back end of a horse might be putting a euro each way on the Grand National. So let us hope that your money isn't wasted, though of course it will be, because that's the way life is, but that people enjoy it one way or the other, and maybe we might have an Irish winner, which would be terrific. Now, the other story that's getting coverage a lot today is the whole event down with the Garda Commissioner, the interim Garda Commissioner, Noreen O'Sullivan. She was at her first press conference. It was a lovely ceremony down there. And actually, one of the things that struck me this morning is some of the photographs are really lovely. There's one, because you think of an Irish Garda uniform, and there's one there of a woman with an Oriental face. And I gathered the range of nationalities that are now in the force is absolutely fantastic. But anyway, she herself, that is Noreen O'Sullivan, spoke at length, gave her first press conference, and obviously has decided that she is going to put her own stamp on things as soon as she possibly can. So the Irish Times leads, well, they have the photograph on the front, and then they say, poll reveals little public confidence and shatter to resolve Garda crisis. But it's not only that that's in the headline. But this story kind of leads you to the point of view of everyone a loser, because it looks like, based on their studies of the whole matter of the Ipsos MRBI poll, that it has diminished, according to the poll, that is, it has diminished the Taoiseach, it has diminished the minister, it has diminished the former commissioner. Like, everybody along here is losing. The only ones not so, would you believe, were the Garda whistleblowers and the opposition. So I know that when people are in their bunkers and they're very furious about what they regard as unfair coverage, that there are consequences for these things. Anyway, that's the front of the Irish Times. They also tell us that 56 homes were valued at over 5 million for property tax. Now, the Irish Examiner, schools computer use hit by poor web link speed. Well, that won't come as any surprise to most people who live in rural areas one way or the other. The strengths aren't there, so you can't work with them. Anyway, the Irish Independent, they also have a photograph of Noreen O'Sullivan on the front page, but they go for matters to do with housing, and they say cash-strapped builders will now get state loans to tackle housing crisis, and we will hear an awful lot more of that, I would think, over the next while, including maybe a bit on our own programme today. Now, the Irish Daily Mail, 8-year-old killed on dad's new quad bike. The Star and the Sun and the Mirror all have the horses and the Grand National on their front page, but the Daily Mirror also has that story about Schumacher, Michael Schumacher. And I heard somewhere in the last couple of days that his wife was building like the equivalent of a Mayo Clinic in their home. But now it looks like he might come out of a coma, which would clearly be a wonder for him and for his family, and I suppose for medical science as well, because it seems extraordinary. And also Corrie Rita charged tears over drink drive rap. So they are, broadly speaking, the front page headlines. But one of the stories that was also getting a lot of coverage during the week was the whole question of the deal between the GAA and Sky. And Donal Cusack is writing in the Examiner this morning, Weekend Sport, and he's kind of just saying, would you all get a grip? He said this was a big week for the bellyache brigade and the vested interests crying crocodile tears for the old people and the children, the community and the poor dead patriots. And he goes on about how wonderful the GAA is and it'll survive anything. I thought he was interesting. He said the ban didn't kill the GAA, neither did lifting the ban. Nothing can. Colour television, the broadcast of soccer games, Ireland at 3 World Cups, sudden outbreak of enthusiasm for provincial rugby, soccer in Croke Park, sponsors' names on jersey. Everyone around, when you think back on it, everyone around. Prawn sandwich brigadiers. Now, that wasn't our row. That was different class of a row. And nothing left so much as, oh, then the row over the corporate boxes. And he said, nothing left so much as a scratch. He said, the GPA didn't kill us. The Cork hurlers didn't kill us. And he also makes the point that you have to give some consideration to. And he says that if the 14 games concerned weren't being broadcast at all, there wouldn't have been a murmur of complaint last week. So anyway, we'll see how it goes on. I suppose people have had time for a little more reflection. I think the gut reaction people had was like, Sky, GAA, but then things change and things move along. And actually they change in all sorts of ways. I was read out that headline there about builders and state loans and housing crisis. And one of the things that's happening, apart from the fact that people can't buy houses, and many would say they can't get loans for houses, though the banks say otherwise, there is also a problem for people renting houses. And sitting across from me is a colleague, Caoimhín Eileann, a journalist with Nuacht and TG Cathair, 34-year-old, single mum of 13, and you're going home to mummy.
I moved home on Tuesday, that's correct. I now have the remnants of an adult life sitting in my teenage bedroom. So that's what's going on.
What happened?
Well, I'm going to give you a very brief backstory, first of all. I'm part of the sort of decimated generation. I bought a house at the peak in 2007 for top dollar in Cork. And through a mixture of relationship breakdown and the subsequent economic crisis, to cut a long story short, I no longer have that house. And I have no lump sum whatsoever. I wouldn't even approach a bank because I simply just don't have money for a deposit.
But by standards, people would say 60 grand a year should be okay.
I just don't have any. I don't have any deposit. I will look to approaching banks in the coming months and see what my target should be. Mm. But at the moment, I have absolutely nothing whatsoever. So I was just getting. I've been renting in Dublin for the last few years, and I was.
You were renting in a particular area in Dublin.
Yes, in Terenure. That's correct. Yeah. Yes. Now that. Few people might criticise me and say that's kind of a salubrious area. Would you get over yourself and move somewhere else? Now, the fact of the matter is I work quite long hours and I need my mother as support in the locality, and my son's school is in that locality. So there's practical issues as well as wanting to live in a specific area. So I just kind of got my... We're obsessed with house ownership in this country, but I'd kind of reconciled myself to the fact I can pay my rent. I like it here. This is my. I can make this work.
Yeah.
I can cover my bills and I earn enough to keep myself going. And now I find myself in a situation where I've been evicted. Now, there's no suggestion of propriety in the case of my landlords. They need the property for their son. And that's perfectly legal and understandable.
How long were you renting there?
2 years.
And what were you paying?
£1,100 a month. So that's perfectly under the Residential Tenancies Act of 2004, which regulates the private rental sector. A tenant only has to be given a certain amount of notice if the property is required by themselves or a son or daughter. Or there's a whole load of reasons that can be used to evict a tenant. But the problem isn't necessarily that happened. The problem is that I then find myself having to go into a very hostile market for renters. Literally, even if I go very much outside my area, if I was to look over on the north side of the city, anything decent to a certain standard would be €1,300. And factor in the extra stress of getting the child from A to B and, you know, all the practical considerations, it's not worth the €200 of a difference there'd be to rent in Terenure at the moment.
What age is your son?
He's just gone on 13 now.
Right.
He'll be 13 in a couple of weeks. So.
Right.
And he's just too young to leave on his own for hours in an apartment as well. He's at a dodgy age. I can't get a childminder for him. He'd flip the lid altogether. And going to granny's house is the only other option there, really. So I'm left in a position where I can't get a mortgage because I don't have a deposit. I don't qualify for social housing because I have a job. I can't get a house through affordable housing or partial ownership because those schemes have all been discontinued in this country. And I can't afford to rent a house. I don't know how any single person can afford to rent a house on their own at the moment. I can only speak as somebody who's a child. I'm not saying we should be given priority over anybody else. I'm not saying, oh, how's me? I've a kid. But that's the experience I'm speaking from. You have to rent a two bed as if you have a child. I can't have a 13-year-old boy sleeping in the one bedroom with me. To rent something, nor can I expect him to bring his friends home to some kind of a bed sit or something. He'd be mortified. So to rent something which has two bedrooms of any decent quality for a child, you're looking at least 1,300. And now the average for rent in Dublin at the moment is 1,200. When you factor in the amount of substandard properties there are, it shows you that in actual fact, the average for a decent place must be much higher than 1,200.
Are there still the tacky ones? I thought during the Celtic Tiger years that at least the quality of accommodation, not size now, but the actual finish and quality had improved.
That's not necessarily true. Now, I'm speaking in general terms here, I must state, not in terms of my own previous landlords. They were registered with the PRTV, the Private Rental Tenancies Board. But a lot of people aren't registered with them. I mean, I've looked at places that would really shock you. There was one place in Rathgar where it was on the... I was a bit suspicious because I think it was €1,000 for a two bed. The second bedroom was... It was Bijou, let's say. The second bedroom, you opened a coffre and there was just a single bed in the coffre. And, you know, there was... I'm not even talking a room with no window here. I am talking about a press where you hang your coats with a sliding door and there was a bed inside in it.
And that's number two.
And that's number... That's the second bedroom. You know, these are people... Now, I'm not saying that that's the case across the board, but there is a lot of substandard accommodation still available. I mean, I have a lot of friends who are in the rental market at the moment. I'm hearing horror stories. A cameraman who works with us has just got a new apartment. Everywhere he went, there was... It was like the scenes at Adamstown where people were queuing years ago to put down their deposits. People killing each other in the queue nearly to get there. It's really, really difficult to get it. I've had people who've had rent increases just... You know, at the drop of a hat, 25%. It's completely impossible to rent a place on your own at the moment. Even couples are having difficulty doing it. So,
right.
I mean, you'd want to be on an astronomical salary to be renting anything decent in Dublin at the moment on your own.
So, the mind went around and around and around. And what were your options?
The options were to move to Mullingar. Somewhere I'm not giving out about Mullingar.
My Nothing father was wrong a Mullingar.
My father was a very proud Mullingar man. But I mean, I practically can't even. I don't even have a car at the moment. I'm so decimated from all my bills and everything. I can't practically move to out a huge distance. And in terms of child minding as well, I can't do that. And to pay more was another option, I suppose. But I don't see how I could have done that. And it was sort of almost telepathically decided between myself and my mother that the option was obviously to move in, which perhaps I should have done from the beginning when I moved back to Dublin. And then at least I would have saved money and I'd be able to buy somewhere. But at my age, when you have a child and you've always worked, and if I have a sense of entitlement, I think I deserve to have a sense of entitlement. I'm educated. I've always worked. I got a single parent allowance for 2 years when I was in college. That was it. Now, I'm not trying to be divisive saying that some people deserve and some people don't. But I do feel I should be able to pay for a roof over my head. So my mother, anyway, very kindly made the offer, as mammies do. And I'm not afraid to admit this publicly, that I pay her €1,200 in rent for the next 2 years. And she will give me the full amount of money back after that, which just shows she drives me up the wall. I'm sure I drive her completely mental. We're not designed to live with our parents at this age, but so many parents have to turn around and look after their big adult babies in this regard at this stage because of the situation that's going on with housing. And if you look back my entire lifetime since I was 23 years of age, I have been obsessed with housing. Oh, how prices are going up. I have to buy somewhere. Have to buy somewhere. My parents gave me a generous amount of money to buy somewhere. Lost all that. Now renting and I've lost that. It's constant worry. Where am I going to live?
I presume your property in Cork anyway is in negative equity.
It would be in negative equity, and I have walked away from that situation.
Right.
At present, I've walked away from that situation with nothing.
Will you just stay there with me for a moment and I'll come back to you? I just want to go to another caller. A person that we've spoken to. Eimear, you are 29. Aquiva, you're 34.
Yeah.
Eimear, you're 29 and you're not from Dublin.
No, I'm not from Dublin. I'm from Roscommon originally, and I moved to Dublin nearly 3 years ago.
And you've been living in a three-bedroom department?
Yes, obviously sharing with two other people. I've been living there for nearly 3 years now. And I moved in 2011.
Yeah.
2012 with the renewal of our lease, there was no increase. 2013, there was a small increase, which, you know, we all just chose to live with. But on Monday last, I got the letter that no rental, no tenant wants to really receive. And there's just a huge jump in the increase in our rents. So it means that in the last 2 years for our property, it's an extra €250 per month.
And what are you paying?
Well, it's a lovely number. It's €666 a month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's jumped quite considerably in 2 years. Pardon me, in 2 years. And it's just, I mean, when you look at it over a year period, you know, it's well over €1,000, and it's money that you would use for, you know, your electricity bills. And it's just a huge jump. And
so let me just clarify this: the apartment, the three bedroom apartment for the past 3 years was €1,750 a month.
Yes,
and it's going up to €2,000 a month.
Yes, now it did. They did try to raise it to, I think it was €1,000, or they did last year. I think it was €1,800 a month, or €1,820 or something like that.
Yeah,
but it is now €2,000 a month, and they are. I have friends living in the same block, and they are raising everyone's rents. You know, it's €2,000. That's the minimum for a three bedroom apartment, and I mean, it's the area I chose to live in. It's in close proximity to work.
It's in Ringsend in Dublin, which is an expensive enough area now.
It is. And I mean, obviously with Google, Facebook and, you know, lots of other big corporations that have moved there for, you know, they have staff that will, you know, that need accommodation. I know that if we were to you know, sign off on our lease, that they would have no problem finding someone. I mean, if any of my flatmates move out and we need to find somebody else, we literally have 100 replies in 2 or 3 hours on Daft or any of the other websites. So it's just a crazy example of, I don't know what you call it, you know, capitalist supply and demand economics, I suppose.
And I was interested to see that renters are gazumping each other.
Oh, yes, 100%. I mean, I have friends in the locality that have gone to look at a house and, you know, it's advertised at, you know, just say €1,800 a month. But, you know, you're there and there are 60 other people there at the viewing. And obviously, if somebody offers a landlord, you know, an extra €200 a month, he's going to take it.
Right.
Which I understand. And you know, I also understand that, you know, rent caps aren't going to work. It's probably damaging in the long run because it doesn't encourage investors to build more properties. But, I mean, these increases, they're just not sustainable.
And what are you going to do? Are you going to stay on and pay the extra?
Well, I guess I am because, you know, I have to look at the practical side of things. I'm so near work, and if I move elsewhere, I'm going to have to factor in, you know, transport costs.
Yeah.
And when you've been living somewhere for, you know, I suppose it's not a huge amount of time, but 3 years, do you know, you're a member of, you know, local things, and, do you know, I have an allotment, you know, there's lots of things that, you know, you really don't want to move away from.
Yeah, and you're very central to everything there.
Yes, I mean, you know, you can walk into town and everything, but what I don't understand is that when our property agency came to us and said that it was that increase per month, you know, they said that it was an accurate reflection of the current rental market and value of the property. So I made a point, and so did the other people I know that live in our apartment block, at looking at previous leases that people owned in the property. And it's never been more, even in the peak of the boom, it's never been more than €1,850 a month.
Right. Yeah, I presume part of the thinking, you see, of all the buy-to-lets, you know, and then when they ended up in negative equity, da-di-da-di-da, I mean, the whole thing came down like a house of cards. Anyway, can I come back to you, Caoimhe?
Yeah, sure.
I'm just going to go back to Caoimhe for a moment. Yeah, there's somebody here saying the majority of people in this country live outside Terra Neura and have successfully found jobs, houses and childminders.
Well, I think that's kind of an unfair comment. I only say, and I was just going to actually say that, the only reason I'm saying Terra Neura is because that's actually where I'm from and it's where my mother lives. It could equally be anywhere. If my mother lived in Blanchardstown, that's where I'd want to be renting. I need her near me. And I wrote an article about this a few weeks and I copped an awful lot of those kind of ignorant comments from people who just don't understand. Now, people will be ringing up saying myself and Emer are get over yourself, move out of Ringsend, Emer, move out of Terra Neura, Caoimhe. The fact of the matter is, they'll be saying in every European country, in every European capital, there's these bigger prices for rents. The fact of the matter is a lot of other countries have waiting. There's London waiting. You earn more money to, now I'll be murdered by the rest of the country for saying that. But the fact of the matter is you have to compare like with like. If you're working in the city, you really have to have any kind of a life. And I expect to have some kind of a life with my track record so far. You have to work, live in the city where you're working, especially if you have a child. I don't particularly want to live in Terra Neura. I need to live in the proximity of Terra Neura for practical reasons. Another thing I just want to bring up is that there's a massive problem with the rental sector in this country altogether. We are 1 in 5 households in Ireland is in the private rental sector. We have no public rental sector whatsoever. That means everything is up to the whim of a landlord. A lot of the reasons a landlord can get rid of you are spurious. There's a whole list of reasons they can end a tenancy, one of which is if a family member wants to move in or if they want to sell the property. There's a whole list of reasons like that. So we have no longevity as tenants in this
because
country.
Because if the legislation had changed that if you were in for such and such a period that you had a minimum, I think, of 4 years, but there are exceptions. Mm. What's happened to your life now in the sense of...
Well, it's very... on a personal basis, when I move home, I feel like I'm Kevin the teenager. I regress completely. Like, you know, you fall into this old pattern. And my mother was saying to me yesterday, what did you have for dinner during the day? And I was going, would you leave me alone? Like, and you speak to them like you're a teenager again, like, because you can't bear that kind of interference in your life almost. It's much more difficult for her, I have to say.
And she's not young.
She's not. I'm the youngest and she was in her 40s when she was born. So, you know, she's a trooper now to have to deal with this situation at this point in her life.
And how do you manage for things like cooking and housework and all that kind of
stuff? Oh, well, it's nuts at the moment. I have a niece living with us as well who's a militant fruitarian.
A
fruitarian. This is the new variant of... She was vegetarian, then a vegan, now she's a fruitarian. And she has this mad palaver she goes through every morning of... making smoothies out of everything she eats and eats 100 bananas a day and all this kind of crack. So it's just nuts, the whole situation. It's a kind of crazy collective of people. But I'm very, very lucky to have that. Like in Emer's case, if her rent goes far too high altogether, she's not from Dublin, she can't move in with Mammy. At least I have that at my disposal there.
Yeah.
We need some kind of a setup in this country for people to have some kind of tenure where they move in. A friend of mine I was speaking to yesterday lives in London. He's also a journalist. He's quite a good job as a sports journalist. And he's just bought an apartment in SW1, which is a pretty salubrious kind of a neighbourhood.
Certainly, yeah.
He only bought 25% of it, which cost 42 grand. But the advantage there is, even though he only owns 25%, the council aren't working from a private interest. They can't kick him out because their son or daughter are moving in. They can't give him... They can do a rent increase for the rest of the property, but it has to be index linked. They can't just send you a letter like in Emer's case. Can I just make one point about Emer's case as well?
Yeah, sure.
She got this 250 euro increase. The only provision in the Act for increases is, which is a ridiculously nebulous and vague term, is that it has to be in line with market values. I mean, that's nonsense. That doesn't mean anything. So... You know, it's a sector that really, really needs to be looked at.
And can I just ask you questions? Because I can imagine what it's like going back home. And that's all respect to all of our mothers and all of our families and all of that. What bedroom are you in?
Oh, the same bedroom as I was brought up in. I'm actually going out to buy a skip today to do a merciless clean out of all my children's books. And, you know, I'll try and give some of them to charity. There's stickers on the wall of... all sorts of things. It's pretty horrendous now, I have to say. But you know, I am lucky to have it, and my mother's a pretty good fun person to live with as well. She's not hard going, like.
Yeah.
But it's just not an ideal situation. And personally myself, I just feel like a bit of a loser, really. You know, I mean, I've worked hard all my life, and I'm kind of looking at my son thinking, is he thinking what's wrong with her? Why did the other mothers have somewhere to live and we're coming back here? You know, it's not good for your self-confidence. And you wonder, why do I keep going, working and doing these things if I've just ended up with nothing? So...
call her on to say, hope things work out for Caoimhe. She's one of many of her generation who have suffered disproportionately. Another caller says, there's clearly a fortune to be made in the rental market in Dublin, yet the government have to subsidise builders to actually fulfil this demand. Well, I was listening to another interview about this yesterday. I think it was on the 1 o'clock. Was it on the 1 o'clock? Anyway, it doesn't matter where I heard it. And they were talking about the cost of building, and that apparently at the moment the cost of building is higher than the sale price of the building. So the builders aren't building because if it costs them X to build the building, that they're not going to get X plus.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing just seems to have been absolutely wrecked. Anyway, we keep hearing about the squeezed middle, and this is a great example of it. 60 sounds a lot on paper. To be a working single mother, it comes to very little. I'm in quite a similar position myself and never have a penny at the end of the month. I often think I would be better off not working. Now, people would look at you and say you've got a terrific job.
I know, and I sympathise with that caller to a certain extent, but then I think you have to be realistic, and when you think about it, I wouldn't give up my life having a job that I like and that's interesting for sitting. It's no crack sitting at home on benefits in a house that's paid for by rent supplement, and I feel very, very sorry for those people. I have an outlet in my life, and I think there's so much divisive talk in this country between people on benefits, people not on benefits, landlords, renters, people in ghost estates, people in the city. It's all this divisive thing. I'm not having a go at landlords and any of the stuff I'm saying. I'm saying this is something that needs to be regulated. You could do a whole programme on the problems landlords have themselves. It's something, the government need to do something about housing. It's one of our most, it's been in a constant crisis for how many years? So.
Okay, another caller says, I'm devastated. Just found out I can only get a measly mortgage. I'm renting with two kids. I work full time, have a second job and no hope of ever owning a roof over my head. While the property prices go up again, I didn't jump on the bandwagon first time round, and now again everything is against me, says another one. Why does the government not introduce rent control, as is the case in Germany? Certain areas the rent cannot go above a certain price. This controls investors also, as they have to consider rental returns versus the price they pay. And I mean, I presume that's it. Market forces, they say, will sort everything. You reckon the government should?
I think that, and Jan O'Sullivan was shot down very quickly recently when she suggested rent control. I think for me it's a no-brainer. I know Emer just said she didn't think that there, but I think it has to be introduced. I don't see any reason why it shouldn't be introduced. I don't know what the research on it is, but like a huge amount of landlords out there own their properties outright. It's an investment property for them. And it's only human nature. Again, I'm not vilifying them. If you're going to want to maximise the return on your investment. So if they can charge 2,000 a month for an apartment in Ringsend, well, of course, they'd be mad not to do it. Why would they be putting it out for under market value? There needs to be some kind of government intervention in the whole thing, because if we've learned anything about housing in this country, it should be that it shouldn't be just left up to the slings and arrows of the
right
of the market.
Just before you go, does your son like living with his gran?
He does. It was traumatic for him, very traumatic now having
really?
To move out of the apartment. I think we just lived somewhere, we lived in Cork and that house is gone, and now we had just settled in the other place. It's not great for a kid having to be moving around like that. But first, I know people will be saying first world problem there with that. He does. We'll make it work. Yeah. But I'm one of the lucky ones that I have that backup.
Right. Okay. Well, I know you don't want to do it, but I hope it works out as well as it possibly can for you,
okay,
and for him and for your mother. and that I'm obviously very generous, and that when you do end up with the 2 years that you'll be on the pig's back, though, who's to say what's going to happen? So in the meantime, Caoimhín Éileann, thank you very much.
Thanks.
And thank you very much to Emer too. And we'll take a break.
1850 715 150.